there, Shop Maniacs. You're listening to another episode of the Shop Talk Show, a podcast all about front-end web design, development, and other things. Maybe running a business. Hey, Chris, how are you?
Hey.
That's that, Chris. We're having the double Chris thing going on.
Yeah, it's going to be confusing.
The rule is that Dave introduces me and I introduce you, but I'll introduce you. Hi, Chris.
Hi.
Shiflet from the internet. I don't believe we've met before, believe it or not, after all these years, but
that's
it's a pleasure to have
me.
You on.
Yeah. That's shocking.
Well, not in person anyway.
Yeah, not in person.
And Jessica's here too. Hi, Jessica Hish.
Hi.
Also from the internet and real life. We're having you on partially to talk about this business that you started, Studio Works. Maybe I'll just have you talk about it first so that we set the stage and we like feel good about that part of all this. What is Studio Works? I know it's an app because I used it to invoice you, which felt pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's what it does for now, right? Like, people can sign up for this thing right now and use it to invoice people, and that already might be a good idea, but it's like going to be more than that someday. I'll tee you up. How about that? Take it, Jessica.
Yeah, totally. It already is a good idea because of invoicing, because, you know, you got a lot of independent creative/developer folks in your audience, I'm sure. They're having to invoice people every now and then. And I know that your audience is probably more tech savvy than just sending PDFs. But what they probably don't realize is that if they use other invoice software like QuickBooks and all that, they're paying the same amount for their subscription as they would to us, except they're also giving 1% of everything they earn to those companies, 1 to 1.5%. And we don't do that. So if you use Studio Works and you want to keep more of your money, then you get to do that when you invoice all of your clients, which is awesome. And then also,
right, so you pay a monthly and then you pay no additional slice.
No additional transactions. So we build on top of Stripe, which is what a lot of people build on top of. Like FreshBooks builds on top of Stripe. Stripe even has their own invoicing like option. So Stripe Invoicing is a product that they have. But even they charge on top of their own fees. So they have a percentage-based fee for transactions on top of their base rates. And so we're just using their base rates, which they like had a really hard time understanding that we didn't want to add an additional transaction fee on top of when we were getting
set
up.
Yeah.
Like their sales team was like, and here's where you add your percentage. And we were like, yeah, we're not doing that. But they're like, but you are, because that's like what everyone does. And we're like, nope, we're not doing that. Ooh. So their rates are 0.8% with a maximum of $5. Per ACH transaction. And so everybody else charges 1% with no cap at least. And so, yeah, so that's one of the reasons. The other reason is it's super designy and is meant to look very white labeled, like you hired a very fancy person or you yourself, as your audience is very fancy and good at development, to build a crazy backend for running your business. So yeah. It looks as though you have spent the time doing that yourself or have paid someone lots of money to do that. And everyone knows if you look more pro, you tend to get paid faster. You tend to be able to justify your costs a little bit better, to clients. So we're just trying to help people make more money. So on top of the invoicing, you can also add clients, and we're working on building basically like a CRM-ish product that makes sense for independent creatives, because most CRM stuff is really like crazy and about sales pipelines and data metrics and all this kind of stuff, which independent people, what they're mostly concerned about is like relationship management, which is what CRMs say that they are, but aren't. So we're trying to build some really fun interactions for helping people actually have better relationships with their clients through that. And then on top of all that stuff, we are also working on a proposals product what we want to do is basically have the whole pipeline of onboarding to offboarding clients done. So we'll be building out a thing for proposals, for MSAs and contracts, and then also, you know, file management and handoffs and stuff like that. So that's all on the pipeline or on the roadmap. But for now, it's worth it just even for the few things that are really awesome and easy and beautiful that we built.
I have a question. You guys, you both made your careers on invoicing clients and doing client services and building beautiful products. Like, what makes you feel qualified to do this? Like, what is...
Yeah, that's a good question.
Is, you know,
I mean, probably, like, both of us have, you know, even before I met Jessica, I had already spent many years freelancing, running a client services company, And you kind of, you know, you run into all the same problems that everyone else does. You know, you see the pain points of running a business. And a lot of it really is about those client relationships. You know, you want to present yourself with dignity, with professionalism. And I think a lot of tools don't really focus on that part of it. Yeah, you know, what qualifies us? That's a good question. So when Jessica and I were first kind of chatting ideas that turned into Studio Works, you know, we were doing a lot of the kind of dreaming that you do when you're just scheming and dreaming with a friend, and you've maybe encountered a lot of the same problems. Like, wouldn't it be cool if, and like, you know, to give you an example, like we've both been embarrassed by the QuickBooks auto reminders that get sent to your clients with no real heads up to you. It's just that if there's an invoice that's due in however many days and they've already paid, but it hasn't been reconciled yet for some reason, you know, your bank feed, which feels like you have to reconnect that thing like every 3 days, you know, fail to do that for you, then it feels embarrassing. Like you're copied on that email.
So a client might get an email from QuickBooks that says, Hey, pay up.
Essentially, and you're copied on it. So you feel like also implicated.
Right. And then they respond just because they're like, bro, I have.
Yeah. Like we paid you last Tuesday. Like, is there, you know, and you're like, oh, I'm so sorry, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. It just feels like it makes you look less than.
So you don't do that, but you don't do it because you just don't do it. You do it because you warn you that you're going to do it.
We do send reminders, but we send you a heads up a day before. So you have a whole day to either mark that invoice as paid if you actually got paid, to just turn off that reminder if you're kind of in the middle of a whatever, you know, for any kind of reason. So, you know, we talked through a lot of stuff like that and had all these big, big ideas. And I even got to wireframing and kind of scheming and dreaming a little bit, you know, more real. But it wasn't until the two developers that are working with us right now, Sean Coates and Nick Sloan, they both quit their prior jobs and, you know, kind of reached out and were interested in working together. And, you know, I know a lot of developers and I've been very fortunate in that way. And they're two of the best that I've ever worked with. You know, Sean and I worked on Samsung's global e-commerce solution, for example, and he, you know, he basically spearheaded the entire infrastructure for that project. It was worldwide. It was, you know, hugely important. It's the kind of thing where if you go down, you know, you can see the millions of dollars they're losing every second kind of situation. And we had zero downtime in the 3 years or so that we ran that infrastructure. So we've got a lot of real serious technical chops. And then on the design and experience side, you know, we have experience running businesses. We've got Jessica's design aesthetic. We've got my product design. And, you know, I think that really, even though we're a team of four, we kind of have some of the best in class ideas around how to build software like this.
I think, too, y'all like touched on something like, you know, if QuickBooks, it's just going to auto email every 3 days, blah, blah, you know, give us money, right? Like, but like you already talked to your client, it's your friend or whatever, and you know their grandma died and they had to leave town real quick.
Yeah, like, something like that.
And you're like invoicing them, like being a total jerk. Like that's like...
Exactly.
And you, I guess y'all understand it's about people. Like it's about a relationship, well, Dave, right?
And it's also not even just that, not even like I have a relationship with the client, but that the way that all invoicing software is built, the client doesn't have a way to interact with your invoice unless they are paying through that platform, right? Because their business structure is built around those transaction fees. And so basically, everybody I'm sure in your audience that has ever been paid by anybody knows that you send an invoice however you're going to send it, and then the client pays you however they're going to pay you. Sometimes it's by check. Sometimes they want to send a wire separate. Sometimes they're doing it through bill.com. Sometimes they're doing it through Gusto, like whatever they're doing.
Net 45, but, net 90, net 60, net,
Yeah, but if they're doing it,
whenever we think about it, yeah.
Like if they get an invoice from QuickBooks or FreshBooks or whatever, and they're paying outside of that platform, there's no way for them to disable that invoice. That's on you to do it. So they write you and say, hey, it's coming. And then it just puts a thing on your plate. So we anticipated that relationship of the clients to the payments to that by building a way for them to actually tell you how they are getting paid and interact with that invoice. So we have this like mark as paid flow. So they can say the money's coming on this date from bill.com, mark as paid. And then that not only stops them from getting like, hey, you haven't paid this alerts, but it gives you intel about when the money's actually hitting your bank. Because I don't know about you guys, but like I end up invoicing people for very similar amounts of money. Like I'll have like multiple invoices out at the same time for the same dollar value. And then when
for 6767. Yeah.
And then when it hits my bank account, it just says like some random string of whatever. And maybe they're both paying through bill or like whatever. I can't see where it's coming from. But with the like Marcus paid thing, I can at least be like, okay, well, this person said the payment date happened on this date. It was for this amount. I can rectify those two things and say, yes, confirm payment. And no other service takes that into account because they have no reason to, because they want you to get paid through them. They want to keep it in their ecosystem.
Because their silo gets money.
Yeah, if they built for that, it would take money off their plate and then they would have to change their business structure and start doing what we do, which is to have a more transparent subscription model, you know?
That's cool. So you'll take the money through Stripe just as a convenience. It's just there because like, I don't know,
exactly.
It's like a nice feature. Some people want to click that button. But if somebody else wants to pay through bill.com, who cares?
It's your Stripe account. You get the infrastructure pricing from them, which like Jessica said, it's cheaper than Stripe's own invoicing product. Like the only way to get this kind of low rate for any of these transfers is to build your own thing with their API.
Yeah. And so we don't make you set up a new Stripe account. So if you have an existing one, it just uses that, you know? And so if you just decide in the future, I'm closing my business, you know, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm renaming my business. I'm doing a totally different thing. It's just like, it's your money, your Stripe account. You don't have to worry about like us gatekeeping that or having to export things and import them to somewhere else. It's just, it's always yours.
So this is very interesting. These are just dice rolls by y'all for, you know, in a way, right? You're like, this could be the differentiator for our product. We could make sales to studioworks.app if we tell people, hey, dude, we're not carving off the top of it. This is already, this could potentially make you money. Which hopefully you're right about. I'd like to think you are. I think that's a generous choice that you have all made to make more money for creative people. It is interesting though, like just to think about it, like people out there are building businesses themselves too. You could have rolled different dice. You could have rolled ones that said, nah, you're going to use our Stripe account and we are going to take 1%. And then that just would have been a different kind of business, a little less generous, but you know.
Well, the main thing is that kind of business, like one of the things that we talk about a lot and what informs like how we want to build our business is to address the problem of how it's expensive to be poor. You know, like we have a lot of folks that use our platform that are sending invoices for like $150. Like they're not sending invoices for $20,000. And when you're sending an invoice for a low amount of money, those rates don't feel like they add up. You don't notice them until the end of the year. And this is why a lot of folks that don't make a lot of money end up giving so much of their money away because they don't feel the hit every time. You know, they can only see it sort of in retrospect. And so it's a hard decision for those folks to make because they can look at, you know, some of these other platforms where it's like free. You just have to give us 3% of every transaction or it's $9 a month, but whatever. So like they're able to say like, well, I don't want to take the risk of paying a higher monthly rate because I might not be invoicing very much. And, you know, like whatever, 1% is nothing or 2% is nothing. But then when you actually zoom out at the end of the year, if you're making any sort of money at all, $30,000 a year, like whatever it takes to survive as a creative, like it adds up to like hundreds of dollars, you know? And so we're just trying to figure out how to make that clear to people so that people don't make like penny smart, pound foolish decisions and kind of help them, you know, get a better sense of what's happening with their businesses.
Cool. So this is fundamental to what you're doing here. This isn't going to be like, yeah, we tried that, but now we're going to pivot away from it. Like, this is like baked into what you're doing.
It's really is core. I think our long-term vision is pretty comprehensive. You know, we look at people who are freelancing or run like small design studios or something like that. And there's a lot of tools that they use that added up, you know, they're spending a lot of money each month to kind of cobble together these different tools to run their businesses. And, you know, they use like a small percentage of each one. And part of the problem with that is, one, it's overwhelming. You know, there are a lot of people who feel dissuaded from, you know, being independent or running their own small business because it feels really intimidating. Yeah, Dave's one of them.
Worst part.
It is the worst part, and it makes people feel like, oh, I'm not businessy enough. You know, it's almost like kids that have a bad math teacher and then they kind of develop this like, oh, I'm just bad at math. Well, not necessarily, you know, so we want to address that primarily. And we also want to like really level up the dignity that people feel when they interact with their clients and kind of, you know, the email reminders thing is just one little example where we really try to think about the human side of this stuff and really, you know, inject that into these tools. So instead of cobbling together a bunch of different platforms, you might have one place that feels like your place where you conduct business. You know, and we try to do everything we can to make you look more and more pro, you know, whether it's customizing colors and fonts and putting your logo on everything to, you know, every user gets their own subdomain, which you guys know that's a little bit of a pain. And a lot of other companies would, that's like the real expensive plan. You know, you're paying $100 a month or $150 a month or whatever to get the one where you have like your own little custom subdomain, you know, so it looks really pro and everything's really seamless. So those things are important to us. And, you know, I've had the analogy that I would use is if you guys remember when TSA PreCheck was like a new concept. And this was like, you still had lines at the airport where like there's a long line for people that don't use the internet. And it was like kind of this golden era. I loved it, but mostly not because of the shorter lines. It's because I felt like I could go through the airport with my dignity still intact. So I even had friends question that, like once the TSA pre-check lines got longer and longer, you know, they're like, well, there's like almost no difference now. And it's like, no, there's a huge difference. You know, so to us, like, there are some mechanics, like we started with invoicing because we knew that people could, like the membership to StudioWorks can pay for itself if you're actually cobbling together a living. So that's, you know, we know that that matters to people, but that's kind of our shorter lines thing. It's not really the core of who we are. You know, we're trying to help people simplify running their business and elevate kind of how they present themselves, kind of cultivate these better relationships and be able to focus on the human side of it.
Are you guys familiar with the concept of TMATs?
No.
Which is throw money at that shit, right?
Okay.
So I recently had to file my statement of information to the state of California for my S-Corp, right? Mm-hmm. The last 2 years, I kept hitting that deadline and not doing it. And then I had like a lawyer that had done something else for me. They just periodically reach out to all of their people that they've ever worked with to be like, hey, I noticed that your statement of information hasn't been filed yet. Want us to do that for you? And I'm like, yes, just do it. Like, I don't care. Go for it for $250. So this year I filed it myself and it was $5 and it took 6 minutes. And so that's the kind of stuff that I'm just like, I want to point out, I would make a whole page on StudioWorks that's like, here are all the things that you have to do as a business. Here's the average time it takes to do those things manually, you know, like so that you can be like, okay, filing my sales tax for the year, that should take approximately 40 minutes, you know, like whatever, versus paying someone else or paying like I use Shopify for my online store, for instance. They'll file my sales tax for me for $25 a month if I pay for it. So $25 a month times 12 months versus spending 20 to 40 minutes myself doing it. You know, and I just want people to have the option to like do that math. So we're trying to basically like figure out all the ways that people could use more advice, more help, more product, or less product, in the things that they're doing. It's one of the reasons why we haven't built like a robust bookkeeping software, because we don't believe in it. You know, like we've used, you know, QuickBooks and Mint and whatever that does like auto importing of things. And what it does is it gives you this false belief that if you just like spend a little time each week cultivating, that you're like doing better business. But now I do all of my books manually and it takes me 4 hours and I do it once a year. So I could be doing it for an hour and a half a week. And then that equals, you know, dozens and dozens of hours throughout the year, or I can just do it when it's important to do it and just sit down and do it. And so we're just trying to be like, hey, I know that it feels better to like pay for the thing that makes you feel more professional. Let's point out the ways that you can actually do the thing that's the most effective, efficient, and least expensive way of doing all the stuff. So we're like both trying to build the things that help make everything fast and easy, but also trying to point out all the ways that things don't need to be necessarily paid for. Because there's a lot of software that's been created and invented to solve fake problems. You know, so what we're not trying to do is like build things that people don't actually need or that overcomplicate their business.
I signed up for, I won't say their name, but a really fast periodical or a really fast book. And I had to like hook up my bank account, get all the bookkeeping, do all this stuff. And then I go to do my taxes because I forget about it. And I come back and it disconnected from my bank like six months ago. And it's like, oh, what? I was paying like $35 a month for nothing, you know, for like zero fee.
But also,
you know?
Even if it did, it's importing all of your stuff and making its best guesses as to what those things are. And it's not smart about it. So you're still having to manually do everything anyway.
That's the only feature I want is like, okay, I bought a domain. What is that? Is that marketing, I guess? Like, what's the tax code? I don't really, you know, like, I don't super care.
And domains, those, you have to like spread that out over 7 years or something.
Oh my God.
Well, it's like one of those things. It's like buying a computer.
Oh no, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, it's just like, well, yeah, it's like, what is it? You know, what are the rules? And no one gets you a handbook.
Yeah.
They just drop you off, right?
And but that's why accountants are good at that stuff. And, you know, a lot of people use an accountant and their accountant's like, you know, we use QuickBooks. They're like, okay, I have to invoice in QuickBooks. My accountant actually told me, well, two things that were very revelatory. One is they would prefer that I not invoice with QuickBooks because, especially if you send a lot of invoices of the same amount, it really like kind of muddies the waters. Because you've got, sometimes you'll get revenue counted twice until that stuff gets reconciled. It's much cleaner for them to have your bank feed or bank statements be the single source of truth. Like that is the money in and the money out. And then the other thing was, because Jessica and I arrived at a very similar place with how we do bookkeeping, I went even more extreme because I used to be the diligent every day, categorize all my stuff or whatever. 1 year, I didn't do that. I can't remember why. I just, you know, got really behind or something. My accountant's like, well, just send me your, you know, your bank account and credit card statements, like CSVs. And they took those, threw them into QuickBooks, basically made human guesses on everything and were correct enough. And it took them like an hour and they just charged me for that hour of work. And I was like, wait, I could just stop doing this like for good.
Yeah. The only reason why so I download and export my own CSVs and sort and pre-sort them, but that's only because like I have sometimes account murkiness when somebody doesn't take Amex or whatever. And so I want to make sure that like when I send the things, it doesn't include personal expenses. But like I also just go through, I sort by alphabetical order of the, you know, like the vendor or whatever. And then I just drag all the, you know, my categories or whatever. And then I'll send them to my account and then he'll update it to be whatever he needs it to be. But yeah, one thing that we noticed is like people will be like, well, I can't use StudioWorks because my accountant says they use zero or my accountant says they use whatever. And I'm like, the way that you get money does not have to be the same way that you sort your bookkeeping, you know, like, and they don't need you to actually use software to do that. You can just literally download CSVs and it's the same thing because you can save out a CSV as a QuickBooks file format. You know, it's literally the same thing. So,
well, and on top of that, it's like, I don't based on my usage of this very fast book software, it is not, it's not good. And I don't trust them to know anything about how I run my business. Like, it's not run by people who do the kind of work I do. It's not run by the people who, you know, it's just run by a corporation that wants to take money as much as possible, you know. And that to me, I think, you know, is, I'm just like, seems like a differentiator from a, like, people who do this work and care about it and still want to do it versus people who are just trying to extract money from me, you know? So
totally. It's also similar to, like, if you're collaborating with someone on a project or if you're collaborating with AI on a project, like, you can't just trust whatever that other person that you don't know very well is going to make everything fine. You still have to go through and fine tooth comb everything and make sure it's okay. So I feel like you're actually giving yourself double the work, because if you just, like, do it yourself, you don't have to second guess things. And you don't have to assume it's going to, like, even if you go through on your super fast software or whatever and, like, change things, that it's not just going to suddenly, like, overwrite stuff that you did when it does a new import or whatever. Like, I feel like I was getting such anxiety when I used one of those things too, because I had the sort of, like, remember when you used to be able to actually, like, read the whole internet on, like, Twitter and stuff like that? Like, you could go back to the last thing that you read and just spend the day doing that. I feel like with these things that auto import, you know, you're sort of like second guessing, well, when was the last time that I went and actually corrected it? I don't remember when that date was. Now I have to make a date on my calendar to say, okay, from November 2nd on, those things are all new and whatever. Whereas if you're just downloading them, like, a month at a time or a quarter at a time or a year at a time, you know exactly which ones you've sorted through and which ones you haven't. You don't have to worry about missing stuff, you know?
I mean, if you could pay somebody to cook the books and, you know, like just babysit spreadsheets, like, maybe that's a different world. But when you're talking about, like, independent, you know, creatives and things like that, that's, I don't know, cost prohibitive. That's like what Trent did at Paravel. He did the bookkeeping and it was just so much work for him, you know, like.
Yeah, it takes away from him being a designer.
Yeah, right. Like, so you got the one talented designer now just emailing about when are you, you know, it's a stupid. It's a waste of talent and energy and all that. So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. As soon as you can have an accountant file your taxes for you, you should. Especially if you're, I mean, for me, my accountant's like, my business is pretty complicated, and I think my fee is like $600 for the year for him to file my taxes or something like that.
What?
Yeah.
Dang, you got a good one.
Pennsylvania. It's my same guy from when I was 22.
He still thinks you're 22. He's
yeah, he's great. He's like, I love when you find a person who cares so deeply about their job that it illuminates a new world of nerd to you that you didn't understand before. Because I have to go into my calls with him to be like, Paul, this is what we're talking about today. Because he goes on all these like, well, what if we dreamed in this direction about accounting? And I was like, that is not a reality that is going to happen in the next 5 to 10 years. Don't tell me all the hypotheticals of what would happen if we did this. And I'm just like, you're just a nerd and you love accounting. And I
also
appreciate
I don't
that.
Love accounting as much as you do.
Yeah. No, I love being around people that like love the thing that they do so clearly that they're like, let me tell you about this amazing accounting thing, you know.
I'm just back from the MGM Grand where we had Accounting Con for 9 days straight.
Yeah, it's honestly, it's kind of like the accountants in Parks and Rec, you know, like that's like a real like archetype, I think, like people that are just that into accounting. Let them do their job. You don't have to do it.
My accountant was this very demure, boring guy, almost like a Simpsons character of an accountant, just very... He charged me a lot, but that's also because I'm a hot mess, so that's fine, you know. But he was just very like, well, yes, we can do that. Okay, get me your book. You know, like it was just very, just what I wanted an accountant to be, you know, just very,
very dry,
straight, no jokes.
He's not throwing creative solutions at you. Yeah.
No, and he's not the dreamer type that you seem to have.
Oh, yeah. My guy's a dreamer. He's like, now, if this were going to go in another direction, and I was just like, all right, Paul, where are we going with this?
That's beautiful.
Yeah. He also, I was just going to say my favorite interaction with him though, was that since I've been using him since I was 22, it means that he started doing my accounting when I started dating Russ, my now husband, who was at the time when we started dating, in a band and doing web design, like as a side thing to make money. And then when he got a job at Facebook in 2011, Paul, my very dry, like, but creative accountant, was like, you know, when you first started dating that Russ guy, I wasn't quite sure about it, but that really turned out, didn't it?
from an accountant's perspective.
Like, from an accountant's perspective, yeah, it was a good investment.
Paid off.
Good investment on my end.
That's good. Hey, you knew though. He's like, wasn't he making music videos with Mark Summers from Double Dare? Is that right? That's the story? Okay, I have. Okay.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I was a very enthusiastic early angel investor in Russ, and
yeah. Good. Recuperating those earnings.
This episode of Shop Talk Show is brought to you by TL Draw. TL Draw is a React SDK for building infinite canvas applications, truly infinite. You know, you go, you scroll in, you scroll out. They call that the camera, kind of. And you're drawing boxes and arrows and all kinds of different shapes and putting stuff on the canvas. They've done a tremendous job with it. Using TL Draw is just a pleasure. You know, think of Figma. Figma's nice too, but it's like that's their proprietary thing and it's all on canvas and you can't really do anything with it. Imagine TL Draw. Go to tldraw.com and play with it. And then remember, you can just have this. You can just use it. They have some commercial licensing for using it, if you know, in your paid products or whatever. But it's ready to go. It's this React SDK, so you can, like, I don't know, put your own design system in it. You can style it any particular way you want. It has multiplayer backend that works great, totally self-hosted situation. And you can just put whatever on there. You can put videos on there and SVG and HTML and style it all with CSS. It's just, it's not a literal like angle brackets canvas. It's just React elements being placed all over the page, and it's super performant and super well done. What could you build with that? Could you make your app more valuable, or use it as the base of your product or business that you want to build? I think there's probably a lot of businesses that could be done that way with TL Draw as the base. They've done some of the really gnarly hard part, and then you get to add value on top of it in your own unique way. So go to tldraw.dev/shoptalk and check it all out. Or do npm create TL Draw and spin up the starter kit and check it out for yourself coding-wise. I worked, my first startup job was a company called Woofoo. It was just like online web forms, you know? Yeah. And I would like to say that just it's reminiscent here, because you could also take money through a Woofoo form, and Woofoo also did not take a slice of it. And it was kind of talked about over the years as like a, maybe that's what really helped, because it processed just tons of money through Woofoo forms. And it was, you know, depending on the mood everybody was in, either like a very stupid decision, because, you know, everybody probably would have been a lot more rich if we did that instead. But also it worked out really well for Woofoo in the end. You know, it was a good, Woofoo still exists. It's still helping people power their forms and all that stuff. It was a good exit, all this stuff. And, so, you know, that choice is kind of good.
I mean, if we can make it happen with this structure, it'll be awesome. But I think even if we have to do something like, you know, have a much lower subscription fee and be like, hey, we're taking a percentage, we already have talked about, like, if we did that, like, what would be the ways that we would be like the good actors in that? Would it be that, like, after a certain percent, like after a certain amount of money that you pay out in transactions, do we automatically switch you over to the thing so that you save money? Do we just always keep you abreast of what's going on? Do we do projections for you? So we say like, hey, you're doing this now. That made sense when you started. We want to make sure that you save more money. Like stay where you are if you're happy and you don't want to do it. But just so you know, if you stay where you are, you're outputting this versus this. You know, so just being really transparent about it and actually like calling it what it is, which is like, you know, if you want to spend less per month, you're just probably a person that makes less per month. But as soon as you hit a certain threshold, you should consider not doing that. You know, sort of making the tiers about like economic realities instead of making it about like which has the pro features and what doesn't. You know, like for us, it's we want everybody to have the same features. We just also want to like work with whatever realities people have, you know.
Well, speaking of different realities, this show speaks to a bunch of web designers, or even more so web developers, probably. And, you know, back in the day, back in like 2010 or something, I think there's just more of them. There's probably more people freelancing and stuff. And, you know, over time, I don't know if there's just, maybe there's just less or something, but that's okay.
Everybody got hoovered up by tech companies. Yeah.
But that's just one niche. And there's a particular part on your studioworks.app website, which has a beautiful yellow background and a 60 rem left curly bracket, which is really something to look at, you know, that talks about this isn't just for web people. In fact, the web people isn't even on the list.
I should put really. Web people on the list.
Yeah, but it could be for anybody, including stuff like a furniture maker or something, or imagine a freelance welder or something. You could be doing anything and use this for invoicing. And I do think that's good for you, that there's a lot of verticals here that are served, and that even though you're talking to web people right now, I don't know, if you could become the invoicing app for, you know, whatever, people that make fonts for Wes Anderson.
For people that care how they present themselves.
Yeah, the main thing is what has happened with a lot of the other apps that we all use is that they start by making something for your specific community. And then either because they raise money or because they've hit walls financially or whatever, they have to suddenly broaden their market, right? And so for us, like, we want to always keep our eye on the prize. That the main thing is it's for like independent and small studios. Like, we're not trying to make like enterprise software. And then also it's for like any kind of small business, but it's for small business that like care about aesthetics and creativity and things like that.
And the human touch.
Yeah.
So it doesn't work for welders, because you don't want to look too fancy to your welder.
Honestly, for anything where you would have a hard time getting hired if you look too fancy, that's probably true. You know, you have a lot of wiggle room with how you design your studio work. So you could really strip it down. Yeah.
Throw a geometric sans at it, like circular, pick black as your color.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Yeah, so I went through this process. What is it? Maybe we could paint the process, and I can start it a little bit because I went through it. It really did take me, you know, because Chris is like, you know, because this was a one-off invoice for me to you or whatever, because the future shows on Chop Talk Show, Be Prepared People, are going to have a little studio works blurb from me probably. And so, you know, that's a transactional thing. And I was like, well, I have my crappy little way of invoicing people, which I do as so infrequently now that it's like a pages.app, you know, template. And I just like plug the crap into that or whatever. But Chris convinced me. He's like, just do it, man. You know? And I was like, okay, all right. I'll use your little software. It is beautiful software, by the way. It was a pleasant sign up process. And I bet it took me less than 5 minutes, including signing, you know, connecting it to Stripe, because I already had a Stripe, you know. I guess if you had to sign up for Stripe, it might be, you know, extra 18 minutes or something. And then what you're talking about, there is a like a lovely little moment where you get to choose kind of a theme. So you can kind of pick any colors, which is nice. But if when you're specifically thinking about the typography and layout and stuff, there's only just a few. And I think that's nice. You know, there's not like 100. There's like 8 or something.
Yeah, it's trying to curate. It's trying to make it like flexible enough that you can kind of present yourself the way that you want. But we do want to really stick to making things simple, right? So like really easy, quick and simple, you know, the least that you can kind of get away with to do these things.
Well, also too, with the font stuff, like, so we're working with font foundries that are like amazing font foundries. So we have a bunch of other fonts in our pocket that we haven't like put on there yet. And the reason is because you know, most other places, what they would do is just dump in like Google Fonts library, like anything that's free, but they wouldn't be accounting for the fact that some of those are display fonts that don't have a complete like set. Some of them are
maybe
like,
don't have the right variable currency fonts. Symbols.
Some of them are, yeah, some of them are, oh, you know, huge things.
I see.
So what we do, what I do is I map every font against every CSS style so that it looks good within our UI and within the system. So like all of the H1s are like custom handled to work best with that new font. So it's not just like you're adding a font family and it's swapping out the font family. We're actually changing CSS attributes so that it looks great across everything. So that's, we didn't talk about it too much, but one of the things that's really cool about our team is that everybody's like super polymathic. And so like Chris obviously like has a background in both like product design development and then also like managing businesses and teams and engineers and all kinds of stuff. And like, while my background is primarily in design, the reason why I got so excited about building StudioWorks is just because of all the resources that I've made for the community about pricing work and sharing business tactics and stuff. But I also do all of my own front end development on all of my projects. So I like write CSS and HTML. I'm like, I haven't advanced into like actual coding languages so much other than PHP. And I know that that is like a little of a dinosaur-y way to build, but I'm very
happy. It's coming
happy.
Back.
It's, yeah. It's coming back. This is what I've learned. If I just stay with my 15-year-old languages, that everything comes back around to them after comes they've back. Burned through something else. And so what's really great about all of this. And then like Sean is of course like a complete wizard with all the back end stuff. And then Nick basically apprenticed from Sean, so can do both like the back end and is a very amazing front end developer that, you know, has a good like aesthetic sense as a front end developer as well. But because I understand how front end dev works, I can design with that in mind. And I can like build with the constraints of what a, you know, design system looks like from the dev side. And so
go all with the grain of the web.
Yeah. So yeah. All of this has been really handy.
Shout out to Frank.
And so, so like, that's why it's not like, I'm not a weirdo for being on a, that's why Chris and I know each other and Dave and I know each other. Cause I used to be a weird web person. I've built a bunch of weird web stuff.
Yeah, indeed. There really needs to be one though. This is a free idea is to make, if you, cause you have one client, like for the most part, you want to look very distinguished and nice and you want your invoices to look beautiful, you know, but you have one client that you're like, ooh, I need to look a little more blue collar-y for, you know, like that, just make like a shitty Arial theme or something just for that one client. That's just a little jacked up looking, you know, just for
that. Well, I will tell you that I actually, so we have, right now we have three different templates for the invoices. I designed five different templates, but we've implemented three so far. And part of that is just because, like you said, like there's, it's one of those things, like when you have all these different variables that are already in play, like there's like the main color palette that you create, which like you choose a primary color and we create an accessible palette based on that. But then you also choose your text color, which is like your black, and there's several options. And then a page tint that goes above the whole screen that kind of makes it feel printed, and then like a highlight color. So those are already like four things that can really shift the vibe. And then with the fonts, that's another thing that can shift the vibe. And then with the template, that's a thing that can shift the vibe. So what you'll, and then also just the data that goes into the invoice can shift the vibe. So what I find is that even though like I might have a preferred template that I use for most things, because it showcases the fonts that I like the best, for certain clients, I'll use a different one just because it's like the information looks better in it or is cleaner or is quieter or whatever. We have an invoice template that just looks like an invoice template. You know, it's like meant to be more like what an accountant would expect an invoice template to look like, so that you can choose the like designy pretty one if you're sending it to the design team or to like someone that has any creative chops, and then you can send the more stripped down one to the accounting people and they're like, oh yes, this makes sense to me.
Good. That is, see, that's the detail we're talking about here.
Can you make a theme that's like, looks like it's been like Xeroxed and faxed like five times and like stretched out?
Coffee ring stain on it.
Yeah, just like full destructive.
I do like the idea of that we make a theme that looks like it's been scanned back in like six different times. Yeah.
Just handed, yeah. Like crumpled. And, that's you nice. Know, just like, yeah.
The most embarrassing one for me is when I do my fake invoice, which I don't need to do anymore because I'm a StudioWorks subscriber now. But I would, you know, like the one person I invoice is a bill.com one, you know, so who knows how it gets digested. And I don't even understand it barely. But if I forget to change the fake little invoice number at the top, that they flag it because they're like, oh, you already sent us one with that invoice number at the top. Because now their system is confused because there's two invoices with the same invoice number. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's made up number at the top. I got to change that, you know. Embarrassing. It won't happen to me anymore.
But yeah. I mean, like we talked about doing invoicing, not because it's like the thing that is going to have the most impact financially, but also for me, it was like the first time I started using software to make myself feel more like a pro. Cause honestly, I used just like PDFs until like, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago. And the only reason why I started using QuickBooks is cause I was just like, I need to not have my like cobbled together system of like, has this been sent? Has this not been sent? Does this have the right information on it? Like whatever, because I'll create invoice drafts as a way to like know about like a current project just so I remember to invoice it. But then if I'm doing it in my PDF thing, I have to like write a note to myself, this has not been sent or whatever, or put it on the email, on the invoice itself. And then sometimes I send an invoice that says has not been sent on it, you know? So it's really just like, we all do the first thing that we do to grow up as a business owner, whatever that is. And I think for a lot of people, it's about like how you're making money, you know, because that's like the thing that you're most concerned about is just like, how do I make sure I make money as a business? And so it being the first thing that we kind of addressed made sense in that way.
As a business owner, I don't want any of that shit on my computer. I just like, it's like, okay, what template did I forget? It's been a month or two, 5, 10, you know, and then.
Oh, you want it. Like you want to use cloud software or whatever.
I don't want it on my computer.
Weird word to use in this day and age.
And I'm going to download the invoice and it's going to be like, cool. Like what folder do I put it in? Now I got to make a decision. I don't want to do that. I was supposed to invoice front end masters for the blog post I wrote or whatever. I didn't do it because I was like, ugh.
You just didn't even do it.
What?
Yeah.
And it was like money. It's not $0. It's like hundreds of dollars. But it was like,
I know
where I was at in life. It was just like, I'm just not going to do it. I don't want like to figure out an invoicing situation. I'm just not going to do it. But that was stupid.
Is that all to say that perhaps if all you had to do was just like click a plus button and type in a very basic new information about a client and then type in a number and hit the button, you would have done it?
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah. Like literally all you need is their name, their email address, and then make one line item for whatever it is. And so.
Yeah. Yeah. I just, you know, it's this, I don't know, it could be my neurospice levels, but it was just this like, you know, it's like, I don't, you know, this is so much work just to tell somebody, give me money, you know? And it was,
yeah.
And I wasn't like, man, I really need that money, you know? But
bringing up the neurospice is big, right? I am also neurospice. I don't know if Chris is neurospice. I think you're the straight man of our spicy relationship here.
Oh, which Chris?
Being that I have no idea what you're talking about, I'm sure I'm not.
If they don't know, they're both normies.
Like okay, yeah. Basically, whether or not you have ADHD or some other form of neurodivergence. And so, like, anybody that has ADHD knows that the second that you hit any friction along the path of doing anything, you're like, and I give up now. And then you go and do whatever is the path of least resistance. You just can't move on. And like no, just everyone should know, because I feel like the web developer world is full of neurospicy people, because we all find our path into things where we either like want to talk to people all the time or never have to talk to people again.
Or can't hold down a normal job.
Yeah. Yeah, like everybody, like we don't want normal jobs. We can't have normal jobs. We're unemployable because we have to bumblebee around all of our interests and like let the wind take us to the next thing that we want to do.
Yeah.
But just know that one of the main people behind the helm of this is someone who's like, I can't make anything happen ever. So I need to make it as frictionless and humanly possible. Like, and every now and then I'll have to sign into like my old QuickBooks account because, you know, StudioWorks is new enough that I have invoices from like the beginning of the year that are like coming up for, I have to do for my taxes or whatever. And I honestly am so, I forget and I'm shocked. I'm surprised I ever made it into their invoicing product because to get to it from just logging in is like seven different button clicks. Oh, yeah.
Even just navigating.
That's what I was going to say, isn't it? It's not really their primary thing.
No, it's like no. It's
buried.
Yeah. It's crazy. And so I'm just like, it is shocking to me that I've ever sent an invoice in my life because there's like, it's almost like playing some sort of insane video game of just like, first you must find the amulet and then take the amulet to this place, you know, like whatever. And that's what I feel like I'm doing.
No, you're making it way too exciting. That would be way too enjoyable.
Are they still your top competitor though? Like we've talked about them a lot. Is that what people use a lot or whatever?
Well,
or?
I think actually what we've noticed is FreshBooks is big. Like a lot of our people are coming over from FreshBooks. Yeah. And then also,
I think our number one competitor is Pages or something yeah. like that. You know what I mean? It's people just cobbling together their own PDFs and sending
yeah,
them.
Yeah. I at one time made like an HTML table that had content editable attributes all over everything and would just click into it. And this is good though. But what is the experience? You know, because there might be people that are interested that already have a solution. I see that that might be worth a little segment here on the show is like, what is that like for you, Jessica, to like have to move crap? Is that annoying too? Or has that been,
have you designed that experience? I think like I'm like a regular business where I'm in sending a few invoices a month. You know what I mean? Like if I send three invoices a week, I'm like, wow, what a month this is. You know what I mean? So it's not too big of a deal for me to like my, because I've actually been just going in and adding my invoices from earlier in the year into StudioWorks and like predating them and just saying marked as paid, this has been paid, just so that I can have like a record of it all in one place instead of having to like have year over year be different. For me, what I always deliver to my accountant is like a spreadsheet that says, here is the money that came in, here is the record of how the money came in. You know, like here's a folder full of PDFs or 1099s or like whatever. And so for me, it's like really, it's the same deliverable no matter what, which is a thing that's not actually giving my accountant the login, though we do have a plan to like have accountants be able to like get into your account to make it even more seamless and things like that. But I mean, the main thing for me is it's just been so much easier to send invoices to clients. And like, if a client gets a reminder email, but they've already paid it, I'm like, oh yeah, like you didn't mark it as paid, which is why that happened, you know? So in the future, like,
yeah, it kind of puts it on them a little bit.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like your fault.
Next time, just say you've processed it. You won't get that anymore, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, it just makes having the conversations around money a lot easier because like I have people that pay by check and things like that too. And so they can select like I paid by check on this date and it shows them like who to make it out to and what.
That is
what
nice. Things. I've never seen that.
I know.
Ever on an invoice
that's
app.
The thing is it's like normally people will just write a big block in the note on the invoice that's like, if you're going to pay by check, send to this. If you're going to do this, send to this.
Yeah, all these different ways.
Oh, yeah. Mine has a huge footer on it. It's like half the page of like, because I totally don't care. It's like, do you want to PayPal me? Fine.
There's actual UI for that for your clients. So when they pick check, we say, make checks out to, you know, Chris, and here's his address, you know, send it here.
Yeah. And I have a whole thing designed for that, for like you doing custom payment methods that we just haven't implemented yet so that you can be like, I want to add Zelle. My number for Zelle is this. I want to add PayPal. My thing for that is this. Like, and then you can give instructions like if you're going to send by PayPal and we're friends and family, I recommend that, you know, because otherwise it's like,
is there no fees? Somebody asked me that the other day, just to make sure we do a weird aside. Why did we ever use PayPal? It's so popular and I can't even remember.
PayPal's fees are outrageously high. If you're using it for business,
they're super high, but they have the friends and family thing. So most people just are not
honest. Which makes it zero all of a sudden, right?
Yeah. And you're not really supposed to do that.
But you know, you're not supposed to do that, but that's on you. as an individual to make that choice for yourself.
But why did we? Why was it so popular? I can't remember history. I'm like, it's blocked out of my
mind. Well, there weren't a lot of other options.
Yeah.
It was the first one that figured out how to.
But there was credit cards, right?
Yeah. Like, credit cards fees are just as high, though. Like, so credit card fees are really high still. Usually 3%. Yeah. And so PayPal is close to that. PayPal is around 3%, but they also, like, I was trying to print all of the, like, what I wanted to do is make all the fees really transparent for every service. Like, here's what you're paying, blah, blah, blah. And for PayPal, I couldn't even do it because they have different fees depending on which, like, state you're in and things like that and what industry it is.
Oh,
like,
my gosh.
So they actually, like, calculate things totally differently. They have, like, a foundation, but then they have all these additional fees that go on top of it based on your location and also, like, what you're doing it for. So it's really complex. But anyway, like, just long story short, we currently, the UI allows you to get paid online by bank transfer or credit card, and then offline by check or by other. And then other is a blank where the client can say bill.com, PayPal, whatever. And then they say the date of the deposit and mark as paid. But we have a whole UI that we've built out so that you can say, I want to get paid by e-transfer, send it to this account, like whatever. And same thing for wires and stuff like that. Like, we're still figuring out how to do sort of like a double secure display for the wire information. Cause obviously what we don't want is to display your bank account information to like any old person. So there might be sort of like a double confirm for security for displaying information like that.
Which is another thing most people don't think about. You just throw it in the note and it's there almost publicly.
Yeah, it's in every subpoena.
Yeah, it's then like in a PDF that you sent via Gmail to your client who then sends it, you know, like whatever. It's just like all your accounts.
Google advertises against it.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Well, I think we are kind of at time here, unfortunately, but I love that y'all have built something that's like centered around, I feel like, and maybe you can tell me if I'm wrong, the ethos is your longevity is connected to your subscribers' longevity, right? Like, it's people who...
Yeah, we're in it together.
You understand the costs that hit you real hard as a consultant and small business, and like, you're trying to make that as low as possible for people so they can...
Survive
and do their job, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, I think that's really cool.
Running a small business is really hard no matter what. And I just feel I hate that we live in a world where people have to look for like every opportunity to extract money from you, because that's like how capitalism works now. It's not, and I feel like it's happened within how we behave on the internet, how like all kinds of stuff. Like, you used to be able to just be on the internet and it wasn't about you selling something or being sold to all the time. Like, there were spaces where that wasn't a reality. And we just want to make it so that people can live in a world in which like everything that they interact with is not looking for another way to fleece them, you know, like, and we want to prove that that's a way of building that is sustainable so that other people can build similar products. Like, we hope, our real hope is like, if we can get StudioWorks to be like a shining example of here's what it's like if you build a real small business serving a niche audience well, that isn't trying to just like siphon every dollar from them, that other places will, other small businesses will pop up with a similar business model so that we all don't have to live in this space of just like accidentally or secretly or unknowingly just sort of like everything kind of evaporating that we've built, you know?
Cool. Well, thank y'all so much. I guess for people who aren't customers already, how can they use this app and how can they follow y'all and give you money? We'll start with Chris.
Yeah, well, we have a special offer for Shop Talk listeners. If you head on over to join.studioworks.app/shoptalk, and I'm going to put this page up later today, so good thing this isn't live. But we're going to offer, basically, instead of $39 a month, it'll be $29 a month for your listeners indefinitely, with the first month free. Dang. So you can try it out and see if you like it, if you sign up before the end of the year. And just to put a little emphasis on the price, like for us, that is the only money that we are making. That's our business model. It's as simple and transparent as we can make it. And that's the price that we gave to people who signed up with their credit cards in hand, ready to pay us before we even launched. And we call them our founding members, and we've got several hundred of those. And, you know, they're our VIPs. We, you know, we just think the world of them. That was what gave us life while we were working on this thing for several months with no money, was that we've got all these people kind of have pledged to become customers as soon as we launch. So, you know, your listeners have a chance to kind of be part of the same group of people.
And also we should probably like really emphasize there's no in-product upsells. There's no per seat pricing. That's it.
There are no like, tiers.
There's no tiers. Like everybody gets everything.
We thought about doing that, but we didn't. We were like, we're going to write code to say like, if you didn't pay us enough money, don't execute this code. That just feels dumb. Like everybody gets everything, you know, like you have a, you know, you're at no disadvantage to companies that can pay more money. You know, we make you look as pro as we can.
Awesome. Well, thank you all so much for coming on the show and, you know.
Yeah, thanks for having
us. Of course, I would say follow them individually. Y'all are both doing incredible work and books and websites, blogs. Chris's blog is very, very good. So
thank you.
When he does it.
Yeah.
No. Anyway, it's very good. So, and thank y'all for tuning in, dear listener. And be sure to heart this up on whatever app you're using, and then join us in the Discord, patreon.com/shoptalkshow. Chris, did you have anything you'd like to say?
Choptalkshow.com.